Go. Now then, boys, welcome to the, I can't remember, I'm just going to give up with doing that, edition of Sitting on the Fence.
Grand National, Scottish Grand National.
Scottish Grand National Week. Before we start, I don't really remember much of last time's podcast. We were quite drunk, I had a two-day hangover. But before I go into how you are, Connor, I've just been winning non-stop lately. Connor will be able to tell you that. I think the past, since Saturday, I have had at least one bet every day. And I've come up profit. I'm up quite a lot of money to the point where I think I've paid my car insurance. So people just don't get it. If they don't get it, they don't get it. But we definitely do, don't we, Connor? Yeah. How has it been for you?
Yeah. I don't usually back out the Craven Meet at Newmarket, but I should have done, really.
Yeah.
Because I've had some huge prices come in.
That's mainly, 33 to 1.
Mainly today, Washington Heights. That was top of my list. And it flew home.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday we had some decent prices as well. Decent price seconds, but it wasn't backed. So, and then today, what the, that one of Newlands won at 6-1. And then I had 17-2 in the first.
Yep. We had both had that, didn't we? Yeah. I didn't back that one. But the one I did back earlier was the double of Absolute Victory. And there was one at Cheltenham Court. It was Evans. I can't remember his name. It was Charlie Deutsch's. What was it called? I can't remember. Malafia or something like that. Malaysia. That's the one. Nice mare for Charlie Deutsch. I can't speak. Charlie Deutsch. That came in at 50 quid. Tenner on. So that's about 4-1. And then I had another 4-1 winner, which was priced up at 5-1 for the super boost, or the 25% boost on Bet365, which was Poet Master for Carl Burke and SH James, the jockey. So I've had a good day. I mean, I've had a great week, and I feel like I could tip a winner at any point here. So if you're listening, keep listening, because we might be tipping a few winners this week.
Yeah, good weekend's racing coming up, actually, with Newbury and there. So yeah, Mullins coming on, trying to get that trainer championship. He's in front. Bringing a strong team with him,
yeah,
to air, which he didn't always done, but he's bringing 18 with him, so yeah,
yeah, he is, and he's looking to get that a bit closer to the Trainers Championship. Just before we wanted to get into the tips, I've got something I want to say, and I said this to you before the podcast. I've got something to say. So me and my granddad were chatting about racing in the pub yesterday. Obviously, my mum's away, so I mean, we go out every week on Wednesday, and we always talk racing. And he was like, how did Mullins actually start off becoming this, start building his empire to the point where it's stronger than the Roman Empire? He finds all the best people in the sport, he finds the best jockeys, he's got the best owners for him. But I wanted to ask you this, guy, I really couldn't put a finger on it. Where do you reckon it all started for Willie Mullins?
Simple, really. I think he's just surrounded himself with the right people. You know, he's got his people in France. 2 days ago was the pre-Wild Monarch, and that race, that meeting has thrown up Stateman, Galloping de Champ, Gaelic Warrior, and another one that eludes me, off my head, a proper horse anyway. Can't remember his name. Sergino, that was it. And he's got people over there who do all the work for him, really. Mm. You know, he's surrounded himself with his people. You look at a lot of Mullins runners from France, they've come to his yard before they've even been heard of, a lot of them. And you look at the likes of, he had Ruby Walsh in his yard. Who has he got as the apprentice? Townend.
Mm-hmm.
Best jockey about at the minute, really.
Yeah.
It's simple, I think. And in terms of what he has to do, he places all his horses in the right places. He's got loads of owners. I think the best thing about Mullins is not how many winners he has, is how he keeps all the owners so happy when they've all got, you know, they're all mega wealthy. They've all got a horse pitching for the same pot. And, how to do that?
Mm. But that's kind of the question I was kind of alluding to, if you could give an answer for that.
I think his power in the game is, you know, if you want to be with Mullins, you accept that, you know, you're going to be going against one of his horses, probably, for whatever big race it is. So, yeah, I just think when he had his first Cheltenham winner, he's many years ago, he's just surround himself with the right people, and he's got the right owners. Like you say, you got Rich Ritchie, he got him in and he ain't got horses. He's got one with Venetia Williams, and he the one that won the Betfair Chase this year. I backed it. It's a nice horse, rated 160, bit old now. Can't go around Cheltenham now. Anyway, can't remember its name. Should remember its name. And he's got the likes of Rich Ritchie on board and loads of people that aren't really. I mean, you look at the sort of owners he does have and it's ridiculous, really.
Yeah, he's the likes of McManus, Simon Meunier, Isaac Sway.
And the situation...
He's got, Rob Cole's got a few, I think, with...
Elliot
and De Bromhead.
Yeah, you look at what he's sort of built off, and he's. I've always say about most things, to do anything, all it takes is you to know the right person at the right time.
Yeah.
And it could change your life.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
And some people are that lucky, some people never get that opportunity, don't realise that opportunity. So,
yeah.
I just think it's all to do with that, really. And he does a cracking job placing them and training them.
Yeah. I completely agree. I just wanted to put that point to you because it really is a myth of how...
To say he's a trainer, so everyone directs all the credit to him, but he's got that many horses, there'll be that many turning cogs in his yard.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He can't do it all. Mm. There's so many other people that a lot of people don't even know who just watch sport on a Saturday who are major players in his yard.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think the most impressive thing he does is keep all the owners happy. But like I say, he's got all the power, because if you want a horse with Willie Mullins, you accept that he's the best, and you want to if you're gonna have a lot of money and you're gonna want a horse trained, you want it trained in Ireland.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, that's where all the big winners are coming from. That's where all the decent prize money is, or it seems to be. So yeah, I think it's as simple as that. But yeah, how he's got there is just a testament to himself, really.
Yeah, it is 100%. Yeah, and it's like I said, it's an empire that's stronger than the Roman Empire at this point.
Yeah,
because obviously when he goes, well, it's going to happen to us. It's going to happen to everyone at some point. But when he goes, Patrick Mullins will go in there. Obviously, he's got like Danny Mullins there.
The thing is about Willie Mullins, that's a bit different to the rest. At one point, Paul Nicholls had all the dominance with Denman, Co-Star. He was winning every Saturday. But the difference is his dominance didn't last nearly as long as what Mullins is, and Mullins is don't look to be slowing down, but he has all the people everywhere. Yeah. And he's getting horses. I mean, look, like, what's the one called? Horses' names are eluding me today, but that one that's come from Sweden,
A Lot of Joy,
yeah, won the Swedish St. Ledger. He's got that on board. He just knows people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if he ain't buying them before they're publicly available for sale, he's buying them at the sales.
Yeah.
And he's winning.
Yeah, he is.
But
let's
make no mistake, in racing, the winning is done in the auction room.
Yeah.
Or the buying and the selling.
That's 80% of it's done there.
That's
it?
Where the winning's done.
Because
you have to have the animal to win.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
100%.
I think that about answers the question to what I think anyway.
Yeah, that brings a lot more light to it. And just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Like I said, we were talking to my granddad in the pub earlier and we couldn't really put a finger on it. We mentioned all the things that you said, but we just couldn't really put one defining thing, but I don't think there is one defining thing about how good Mullins.
Yeah, you have to the owners, you have to have the contacts to buy the horses. It's like the same on the flat with Gosden. He has, well, arguably the best pick of the crop, because he's John Gosden. He knows the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, horses that aren't available to me or to anyone else or to people in Michael Stout's yard or whatever yard are available to him from, you know, a yearling. So not all of them are bought in the sales, they're all bought in different ways. You know, they're bought as breeze ups, they're bought privately, they're, do you know what I mean? He's got them going. Best breeders on, you know. So that's just how he does it, I think.
Mm. Yeah, no, I can't argue with that one at all.
I mean, I think the key case is that big race in France for the unraced 3-year-olds, the pre-wild monarch. Every horse I've named in there, apart from Sergino, has gone to Willie Mullins. And Sergino, they bought Salvatore Mundi and Sergino at the same time. One went to Nicky's and one went to Mullins.
Mm.
So, and there is an argument to be made that Salvatore Mundi is a lot more difficult than Sergino. That's why he's probably gone to Mullins, and Sergino's gone to Henderson. So
yeah,
same ownership. So like I say, just that one race there gives you proof of what he's doing every day.
Yeah,
and it makes it hard for anyone else, really.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
but I think as a side point to that, our trainers over here, barring a few, they need to up their game a little bit to try and
just
get,
a little
just
bit
to try and get with him. Do you know what I mean? You can't replace some of the stuff he does.
Yeah,
but you're not going to stop him if you don't try to get to his level.
No, exactly. Like you said in the Cheltenham podcast, we seem to dominate the handicaps, but that's probably because we've got the them horses that just sort of
got the handicap on side as well for a start.
Well, that's one, and second of all, they're good enough to actually get in the race and perform. And obviously, these like you said, well, literally alluding to what you just said there. I mean, the Irish horses don't really get the favour of the handicap, especially not if you're with Dan Skelton. But yeah, but the Grade Ones, they're in a different league to us. Even like the likes of Gordon Elliott and Emery de Bromhead, they've got the best horses. And if you've got a horse of that calibre, I just don't see why you wouldn't go to one of them three.
Well, you would do.
You would, of course you would.
Mullins is the top man. You know, you can't make any mistake about it. I know Gordon Elliott's really good, and he is good. He's a cracking trainer, but there's only one man on top.
Yeah.
And you had to look at, the name's eluding me again. Kingstown Stud.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was training them horses before they had a fallout about training fees. And they had a fallout training fees, moved all his horses to Gordon and whatnot, and then he's come back to Willie.
Mm.
Well, because you pay the man what you want, he gives you Grade One winners all the time.
Exactly, yeah.
He has 1, 2, 3s in Grade Ones.
Mm. It's split 50-50 now between Mullins and... I think there's more Elliot than Mullins.
Yeah, He has 1, 2, 3s in Grade Ones all the time.
Yeah.
Regularly. And he goes everywhere. He goes to America.
The fact he puts 5 or 6 in is also ridiculous. But, yeah, it's showing us up a lot in terms of... top class races.
We were just saying in the pub, he's got horses going to wear that are rated 135 that you never even heard of. And any normal trainer would love to have a horse rated 135 in the UK.
I bet he's forgotten about him himself.
Do you know what I mean? You haven't even heard of it?
No.
You know, that's just how powerful he is.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get on with it.
Let's get on with the tips then. So we start with Air or Newbury?
Air.
We'll go with Air. You go first, mate. So we're starting off with the 115.
Yeah, the Grade 3.
The Grade 3, the Scotty Brand Handicap Chase. There's really nice sorts in here. Obviously, our old favourite, Sans Brewitt, in here, 11-4. I think it possibly might win again. Maybe it might be too soon for him to run again. But Briony Frost, wow, what a run at Aintree. We were there. No, we weren't. It was the Thursday run, or Friday. Yeah. It was one of them 2 days. And I'll tell you what, Briony Frost did not lift a finger. It was clearly they had a lot in hand. And I did say it on the day. I did say it on the podcast, that this one would just win, and it was too big of a price. But I'll go with you first, mate. Who are you picking?
Yeah, Sunbury, we've been a big fan of his for a decent while now. The only thing I would say about him is he's definitely still well in at 140 handicap.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely still well in. But
yep.
The only thing I'd worry about is it's been 9 days since last run.
I don't know if
it'd be a bit too... It was a tricky old race. It was on deep ground.
Is exactly why I'm not picking it.
He ran from the front. He was just not for catching. So... I'm just going to go for Uncle Phil. I've been watching this horse for a long time. When I say a long time, I mean like 2 years.
Yeah.
I got told about him, and he's always been on the track. I've always kept tabs on him, not backed him, but now he's up to 150, which I never thought he might get to, actually.
Yeah.
I'll tell you when I backed him first, if I go on his profile, a long, long time. I backed him when he ran on the 20th of August, 2022. I backed him at Kilkenny, 6-4 favourite, flew in that day. But yeah, and I also backed him when he went to Kilbeggan, and he won at 5-2. But apart from that, I've not backed him. But I think he should have really gone for the Arkle, but he didn't. So he's nice and prime fresh for this. I think he'll just win it, to be honest. I think he's probably going to be seen to his best. He's one of the horses that are probably quite tricky to get right, but he's still only 7. So I think this coming season will still be 7, and you might be talking about him as a young and up-and-comer when really he's been about for ages.
Yeah.
He's come through the ranks. He's not been one of them that's hit the top grade really quickly. Like I said, I've known about him for 2 years
definitely
now.
Definitely a progressive type.
2 years now. He's not one of them that's hit it really quickly, but yeah, he seems to be getting better all the time. And he's one of them that come November, in the winter, that we talked about the top 7-year-old. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When really you feel like I've been around for an age.
Yeah, and he has, to be fair.
Yeah.
You're taking a nice angle on that. I like it, but I'm going to go with one that's a little bit more of an outsider. I'm going to go with Trap Rain Law for Lucinda Russell. Patrick Wadge takes £3 off the 11 stone he currently has, currently rated at 138. The racing pro seems to rate him at 160, which is maybe a bit too far, but we move. Last ran 58 years ago at Ayr, and he won the same distance, set off at 13-85. setting off at a 128. This is currently his best rating, so there's definitely more room for improvement there as well. As a six-year-old, really like him. Goes well on the heavy ground, which you'd probably expect. The ground's saying it's going to be soft, but if we're having any sort of rain that we've been having at the minute, and this will come to a tip later on that I've definitely got, that probably will play into his favour. However, he's won on good ground before, despite only being a class four race, again at air. So he seems like a bit of an air merchant, really likes the course. And Lucinda Russell puts him in here, and Patrick Wadge is a nice lad to have on side. He takes £3 off, and he's one of the handier claimers out there, I think. And he could just win this one. I mean, you've got like Pembroke in there as well, who I really like.
They've all got holes in them, haven't they? They've all got reasons to shoot at them.
Yeah, exactly. I think that you can make a case for these top four here. Sans Brewitt, I think the ground may be a question. Uncle Phil, brilliant. I do like your take on that one, actually. But I'm just going to go with a bit of a price on this one. I'm going to go with Chopin Law at 6-1.
All right, on to the next one.
Yep, no problem. So the next race is the 150, which is the Novices Champion Handicap Chase, running over 3 miles. And I'm going to go with a man who is in hot form in a minute. I'm going to go with Jonathan Burks and Harry Fries. I'm going to go with Deeper Blue with this one. Currently rated, let me just have a quick look. He is rated 132. Weighing in at 10 stone 13. The first time cheap pieces might just be the edge on this one, I think. Not won actually over Chase. He's won over hurdles twice, over 6 times. He's raced 5 times over the Chase in Mark, and he's come into the places quite a few times. He's been missing the mark a little bit at Newbury and Hereford last time out, coming second both times. Very disappointing at Doncaster, that was in a Chase. And then in 2023 in October he can be second again at Plumpton. There's going to be a time for this horse. Had a really good 2022, had 2 firsts under his belt, both setting off as 5 at Exeter and Fontwell. Would want the ground to be a little bit, seems ironic, but I really want the ground to be a bit more good if he's going to run well here. He's a nice 8-year-old, trained by Harry Fry, we know he's a very good trainer. But at the minute, the punters have no idea what to back because the favourite Montgomery is 11-2. So yeah, that's my case for Deeper Blue. I think there's one. This one might just be his day.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for something that I maybe shouldn't go for, but I feel like I'm gonna do it anyway.
Is it Mufasa by any chance?
No.
Ooh.
I'm gonna go for Chiagi.
No, I was close to picking it.
Absolute cornerstone of Mullins Yard. This horse has been. He's been nearly £1 million in prize money. He's trying first mile for the free time. He's only started chasing this year. He's just one of them. He's getting on now. He's 11. He's got to carry 12 stone, but he has got Townend. We're talking about a horse here that comes second to Honeysuckle in the Champion Hurdle. Mm. Second to Epitont in the Champion Hurdle. Do you know?
That was a long time ago, though. I'm not saying that. I do like your pick on track. I was tempted to pick him myself.
It was a long time ago, and this is a lot cooler waters for him, and you got to try 3 miles. It's like you sort of, you're naming bad points, but also good points.
Yeah.
Like, he might just want a bit of a trip
I'm
now.
Just throwing questions out, yeah.
He might just want a bit of a trip now.
Mm.
You know, he's getting old, and they chose to stick with him and go chase him, a bit like Faheen.
Yeah, I know. It seems a bit more
same
of
same ownership, obviously not as good as the horse, we know that.
Oh, Faheen was different, yeah.
Yeah, but they're bringing him over here, and it's 10-1, and I just think, And all known factors, he's the best horse in the race.
You can't ignore it. You really can't ignore it.
You know, I know he's 11. This will be one of his last outings, I'd imagine. I don't think he'll be coming back this year. I think it'd be like sort of one last go at it, and then that's it.
Yeah.
So
hang up the saddle with that one.
Yeah. And he's 10-1 now.
He's done a lot for racing, though, hasn't he? He's done a lot for...
He's done a lot for Mullins, and, you know, them 2 seconds in Champion Hurdle. I mean, they're better form. I know it was a long time ago, but they're better form than you'll get in this race.
He could just find his form back at this sort of level. Does he go on soft to soft to heavy?
Yeah, he'll go on it. Yeah, he has won on soft ground, but you know he's I don't know what I'd say about him really.
Mm.
And he went to Cheltenham last year. He got beat by 3 lengths last year.
Yeah,
you know, and this is last year at a Cheltenham race, the county hurdle. But
yeah,
you can't. He runs plenty of times as well.
Mm.
Excuse me, I have to cough. I've got a bit of a cold. Sorry. But he's won at Galway as well in August.
Mm.
at the festival. So, what do you want to say? He's obviously still got a bit of love for the game coming first, four starts ago, and he's had a fourth, third, fourth in the meantime. So, he's obviously still got a bit of love for the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think 10 to 1 is a huge price.
Yeah.
You know, and he's danced all the big dances, unlike any of these.
Yeah, he has, yeah. He's been there. He's been around the block a little bit. So, going to the next race at Ayr, the Scottish Champion Hurdle. I know who you're backing in this next race. I'll let you go first. Go for it.
Yeah, I'm going to Ginger Mail. He's about 40 to 1, 33 to 1, 40 to 1 at the minute. Bruce Lynn takes 3 off. Just a nice, consistent horse. Trainer's banging form. He's climbing up the weights, but he don't like stopping. He's really putting effort in. He's done most of his winning round there, placed around there. So yeah, I'm just gonna go for him. He's quite lightly raced actually. He's had 16 starts, but for an 8-year-old, that's not a lot. He has won only 3 times, but if you look at the amount of times he's been in the place money, you know, he's bang
in and around it.
Yeah, you know, he's bang there. I know he's got to have a career best here, but I wouldn't put it past him. He just seems to be on the improve. And Bruce will take 3 off. It's 1-2-5. You know, he has to carry 10 stone 3.
Yeah,
I'm all about it, to be honest. I'm probably gonna have a decent bet on him. I might have like 30 each way, something like that.
Interesting. Have you got another horse? Because I've got 2 in this race.
There's a few to like, a few not to like. Lotus Sud's probably well handicapped off 1.38 still. He's top of the market.
Skelton horse, which is well handicapped.
Yeah,
never.
Yeah, he's
never.
He's well handicapped. I don't think he got the right run in the race last time, but yeah, I just think there's a lot of these you can probably pick holes at. I would like first three, but I think the ground's a bit too soft for him.
First run since Windup, I'll be looking next race.
Yeah, but I think the ground's a bit too soft for him anyway. Rubo, yeah. I never thought he was as good as what they were saying he was. I know he had a few big victories, but let's do it right. If Constitution other than the races he was in, he'd have been chasing him around the pack and he'd be chasing him down the back of the field. So I don't think he's as good as, well, he probably is a 1.48 horse, but I don't think he's going to be as good as what everyone thinks he's going to be. And then he won Affadil, he's just slightly horse really, but very hit and miss.
Funnily enough, you've brought me onto my tips. Rubo is my tip. Obviously, despite what you've said, I really do like Rubo. I think he's a very nice horse. Like you said, though, I think there's not much more room for improvement for this one. Currently rated 1.48, probably is going to be his limit. Race opponents do think that as well. They think he's 1.51. So, but a 6-year-old, he's progressed quite quickly into what he is. And I think finishing 9.5 lengths behind Constitutional at Kempton is not a bad run of things at all, I think. And he's won, and the thing is what gets me as well, he's won round there before and he's won at the same distance. Obviously, I think he bypassed Cheltenham. He bypassed the Cheltenham Festival. He was there on the 27th of January, week and fourth. That was quite disappointing, actually. Again, we'd want the ground to be a little bit more good to soft, if not good. Won't get that. Possibly get more good to soft, but if we get that ground, I could see this one doing quite well. And second of all, my second tip is Affadil. Been really, really impressive this season for me. Did a really good job at a big price at Cheltenham. Coming 5th out of 17th. He was 40 to 1 when he set off. He was even drifting. He was under Freddie Gingell. I think he might be under Freddie Gingell again. He is. Very nice £5 claimer. So I'm going with both Nichols horses here. And he had an impressive entry as well, coming 3rd. In a big field. Hell, Hefe won that race at a massive price. Come from absolutely nowhere as well. Come from the Hog Roast Stand. But rated at 1.30 now, there's definitely more room for improvement for this 5-year-old. He might actually take a similar road to Rubo, actually. Might win a few big races in his time, but the limit might just be 1.45 for this horse. Definitely worth an each way at 12 to 1. And then again, he's won round there before. For Paul Nichols, and he's just in the past 5 he's only finished out of places once, and that was at Cheltenham in a massive that was in much more deeper waters. This is calmer waters for him here for the Scottish Champion Hurdle. Again, he's against some nice horses like Lotus Sud. I really like him, Favour and Fortune. I thought you were going to go with Bialystock. He could just find form here again, but they're my 2, Rubo and Affadil.
Yeah, I think every time I mention Affadil, I talk about when I was at Cheltenham last year and I backed him and he devastated me. So, yeah, but he has won for us since. So, yeah, on to the next.
On to the next. So it's the 3 o'clock at Ayr. So it's the Seafield Trophy Mares handicap hurdle. We were talking in the pub, a penny a hundred for Willie Mullins. Where the hell have got that horse from? I've never heard of it, to be honest. And we pretty much study racing pretty much every day. But my pick in this one is going to be, again, it's going to have to be Paul Nicholls and Harry Cobden. I'm going to go with Largemouth Lass. He's aged six now, and he seems to be going for quite a long time. Weighing 10 stone 4. Again, he's been very consistent. Only finishing out of places once in five, if you count fourth as a place. Last round 28 days ago, so he's definitely ready to go again. They'll have the hood on him as usual. As usual. Rated 113, and I think there's a lot more room for improvement on this one. Very progressive. I think she's got the beating of Coco Mademoiselle. Penny 100 could just probably romp this race. Willie Mullins is bringing this one out of nowhere, I think. I just do really like Largemouth Lass. She runs quite well every time she runs, so I'm going to go take that 6-1.
Yeah, I'm going to go in for Ottozzini.
Think I tip this horse at Doncaster. Let me have.
Yeah, come second.
Yep.
Nice second in a listed race, that one. Now. Yep. So yeah, a bit of a downgrade in class, but I think she's on the upgrade really, mm-hmm. and. She's probably well in a handicap as well to get carry £4 over here, but don't think that'd be stopping her. So yeah, she's just on the upgrade really, I think.
Yeah.
And I think the race might be quite slowly run and she might get a lead in front and she'll stay. So I'm just gonna go for her. She's currently 12-1, which is a huge price. Sean Quinlan on board, which cracking jockey really.
Yeah. I agree. Here we go to the Grand National, the Scottish Grand National. Mr. Incredible staying in this race. I don't know how the hell he's got the stamina to run all them races. Didn't he run in the Midlands National?
There was a stat about him last year, and I think he ran something like, I mean, don't quote me, but it's a stupid number. It's something like he'd ran 112 furlongs in 4 weeks or something.
That is ridiculous, isn't it?
But I don't know the exact stat.
That is ridiculous.
I don't know the exact stat. I mean, no, it might not have been that. It might have been like 80. It was definitely something like, I think I got it wrong. I think it's somewhere between 80 and 95 furlong in 4 or 6 weeks.
That is ridiculous.
I remember listening to it last year and thinking like, how has it managed that?
Mate, honestly, it's just unbelievable. Got unlucky. He's not my tip, by the way, but I'm just saying, got unseated at the chair, so he didn't have a full run of the National, let's have it right. So we'll probably be up for this race again. But I've got two in this race. I'll go first. I've got with Spanish Harlem. It's been on our tracker for many a year now, age six. We saw this horse when it comes second at Fairy House. Again, being really consistent, and again, this might just be the day for it. 10 stone 10. Paul Townend, you cannot ignore that. 8-1, massive price. It won't be 8-1 on the day, I can tell you that for a fact. We'll probably say the trip as well, actually. Even though it's been running at 2 mile 4, we'll always want to trip this one. And I'm also going to go with a bit of a bigger price, and I'm also going to go with My Silver Lining. If you talk about consistency, this is your horse. 20-1 at the minute, which I think is brilliant. She just rides out as best she can every single race. She don't throw the towel in whatsoever. She don't know when to give up. She's eight now. Obviously, James Best knows him on better than anyone. Trained by Emma Lavelle, legendary trainer at this point. A massive win. We tipped on it last time. Massive win at Warwick and Wincanton most recently. Comes second and third since the last win. On heavy ground, so again, probably want the ground to be a little bit heavier than soft, but yeah, she'll act on soft ground, and obviously get the mare's allowance I think in this race. So yeah, I really do like My Silver Lining. Might have been each way on her.
Yeah, Spanish Highland's been in my tracker for about 2 years. Wasn't a one to watch last year, didn't work out, so I'll give up on him a little bit. My tip in this one, firstly, is Angler's Crag, just a horse on the upgrade, stays a trip. Nice win at Newcastle last time in the Ida. That was it. Battled away there. Got the better of couple of nice horses, and if you like the form of Cruise Control, he's just won an entry. He come fifth in that race.
I can't believe we missed out on that win. That was one of the wins that I kind of was gutted that we didn't back.
Yeah, so I've gone for Angler's Craig, and I have no problem with the trip. He's on the upgrade, and so he's got some nice form of other horses. He just keeps winning at the minute. So yeah, up to 1-2-6, well, up to 1-3-4 now, but only 10-4. So
yeah,
could just get the run of things here, weighted down the bottom. And the other one I like is Wacker Clan, also 10-2. Nice prep run at Cheltenham last time. Nothing was catching, I know the way you're thinking there. He was so well handicapped off his mark there. Gone on and won a grade one after that. He could have won it going backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, he could, yeah.
That day.
Could have moonwalked down.
Beaten far enough, but he was in third. Nonetheless, so yeah, go Wacker Clan. I think he'll...
Yeah, you thought I was going to go with Wacker Clan. I do like the horse, but...
It's a new trip, but I think he'll be fine with it.
Yeah. Well, that's air for you. That's it. And then we go on to the flats.
We'll be worth getting a mention to Ironbridge as well. That horse.
Oh, I've got a pedigree in these sort of races.
Yeah, he's better than what he's showing this season, so wouldn't put it past him to show up.
Yep. Right, Newbury, 130. So we've got the three finest surprise stakes. I've already got my big bet on this. I'm also going to go in again for him, I think, tomorrow. And I know for a fact you're tipping him as well. Let's waste no time. Hamish.
Yeah, soft ground.
Soft ground merchant. He's won. He's getting quite old now, actually. He's an 8-year-old.
You can make a rhyme about it, couldn't it, back in Hamish?
Yeah.
Soft ground.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, just look at his 2023. I mean, first on
the ground softish back Hamish.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But he doesn't even need to be soft. Good to soft wins at Goodwood, class one.
The heavier it is, the better for him.
Yeah.
They've had problems with him in general throughout his career, but they've just figured out nice and early that him on heavy ground, he just chews through it.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've only started playing him on softer than good ground.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice last year at Ascot, it was good soft and they gave him non-runner.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They only play him, and they figured out that the start of the season, the end of the season, there are his big days. And I mean, you look at his record, I mean, first, second, first. I mean, and then you go back to when they were running him on, like, good soft ground, good ground.
Yeah.
Since they figured out that he goes on soft ground and only soft ground, he only comes first or second. That's it.
Yeah.
You could even back him each way at 4-1 and not be too upset for losers.
Exactly. Well, he's up a good horse there in Arrest, but I don't think Arrest will actually act on this sort of ground.
They've got him on...
loves the soft ground. He loves the soft ground. But I think Hamish is just that class above. He just beats everything on. Let me just go through a list of some of the horses he's beat on this sort of ground.
Oh, God.
Let me just go. Al Kareem is in the same race. You've got King of Conquest, Max Vega. Lost to Max Vega last year, actually, 2022. You look at Goodwood, he's beaten the likes of Jack Darcy. Candleford, which I actually backed on that day. You look at York in the John Smith Silver Cup. You've got the likes of Tumesius Fox in there. He's beaten more times than I can count. Chester in the Chester Vars, he's beaten the likes of Lone Eagle, Changing of the Guard, who we really like.
Yeah.
Enemy, I mean, Enemy does love the fast ground, that's why he goes to Maidan all the time now. But Hamish just seems like you're dead certain he's going to be our nap of the day, surely.
If it keeps raining, I can't see him get beat. I can't see him set off at 5-4. Like,
I can see him getting set off at odds on.
You know, if you could probably back him now at 4-1 in some places, you just back him each way. Like, he's going to place.
Yeah.
At minimum. And he'd probably win. The only thing that might catch him out is fitness, but that's doubtful as well, because Haggis knows this is his time of year. He's now on the end of the season. So I doubt he's going to come in unfit.
Exactly. That is free money just staring at you in the face.
Haggis' dad actually owns it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Doesn't he? So,
I might go back in for a big bet on him, actually.
But you listen to Maureen Haggis, his wife. And when his horse wins,
she's everywhere, isn't she? She's everywhere.
She just knows that this horse is start of the season, end of the season, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
They might only get 5 runs out in the year, but God, he's just so effective on heavy ground. It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
I can't believe he's 7-2, actually.
No, I can't. I really can't.
You've got to give Arrest some respect, though, for what he did in the St. Ledger, but.
Yeah. Coming second to, was it second to Continuous or?
Yeah. But
was that was my bet on the day, yeah. I think, Arrest. Yeah, but that was, I think that set off at, I'm going to guess 4-1.
If you wanted, I think we're getting three places here. If you can get
each way, 11-4 favourite.
If you get each way extra, I'd probably just go four places, Peking Opera.
Peking Opera.
Yeah.
Go back on the flats.
Yeah, decent performer for AP O'Brien.
If I had to pick someone each way, it'd probably be Chesspiece.
He's probably been a victim of the AP O'Brien pacemakers a few times.
Yeah.
So
you get that a lot with his horses.
He's probably, he's been to a lot of places last year. Not a lot of winning, but like I say, you can count them off for just being pacemaking. And he's 6-6-1 at the minute. So
Hamish is in my double. I've backed to Nürburgring for the 4-year-old hurdle at Punchestown in May. I put that in a double. It'll be about £300 if that comes back in after a tenner. So the money's down. I will put the money down on him after this podcast, actually, 7-2.
Yeah, if you can get four places or an extra place, let's say 50-1 picking up for four places, I'd back it.
100%. Right, next race is the Dubai Duty Free Stakes, again class one. Is this a listed race or group three?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with, actually I'll let you go first.
I'll keep it simple, go top of the market. Yeah, I just think this thing's already won a listed race, beating some decent horses in behind as well. So yeah, I'm gonna go for just top of the market. I'm not gonna back it.
Regal Jubilee.
Yeah, I'm not gonna back it, Regal Jubilee, but I just think it'll end up being the best. Relief Rally went on a bit of a run last year, really.
Yeah.
She's just by far the best at a lot of the races she ran in, but yeah, not for me, I don't think, on softer ground.
I'm going to go with the Italian horse. I'm going to go with Folgaria. Again, unbeaten. Connor knows how much I love an unbeaten horse. 5-5, 4 in stakes. So clearly a weapon there in Italy. It just all depends how good the Italian horses are. If you go look at some of the distances that Folgaria won, she won 2.25 furlongs last time out, won at 6 furlongs in a 6 furlong, sorry, 6 lengths in a 6 furlong race, 7 at last before that. On heavy ground, it was a half a length. And the first race she ran, she was the only horse in the race, so that's interesting. I've just found that out now. I think she will suit the ground perfectly, and from what the Italians are saying, that is possibly the best horse coming out of Italy at the minute.
Just what, how their race is stacked up against ours.
Exactly. Obviously a lot of these horses coming off a big break. The most recent is Regal Jubilee, 168 days, but this is 181 days. And obviously Holly Doyle, you can never be too confident with her on the mound. She's very, very, very good, and you can never count her out of a race.
Alright, next one,
and I'll be having a big bet on her as well, I think.
Yeah, the Greenham. Bit of a Guinness trial, really.
The 2000 Guinness trial. Yeah,
bit of a Guinness trial.
I'm going to go with Army Ethos. I think he's just the best horse in the race.
Yeah.
First time cheap pieces, come second last time. At Newcastle, the All Weather, won once out of two times on the flats. That was at Ayr, and then come second at Ascot, second to River Tiber. Obviously, we know how good that horse is. Beating the likes of Bucanero Fuerte, give me the beat boys. Hatim, who's just won the Craven, Asnadar, who's a very nice horse. You go down there, Politico, Zulu Chief, beating some really nice horses. At Ayr, beat the likes of Dingwall, Heroic Angel, and then the last time out at Newcastle, comes second to Pocklington, which I've never heard of, to be honest. But definitely a turf horse, rated at 110, obviously going off at even weights, 9.72, very nice 3-year-old, and the first time cheap pieces could just be the trick there for Archie Watson. And again, I'm back in Holidale.
Yeah, I've gone for two here. First one being Mr. Sketch, 10-1. Been bought by Wafner Racing. We know that they're coming power in racing. They're just buying up loads of horses, they're sending them to the Middle East, they're sending them to France, they're sending them over. But this one stayed in the country. The Butt Buick. This horse, I remember the trainer talking, and it has got a massive reputation. It's beaten everything at the gallop. Had a bit of a troublesome start. Probably not as many runs as they'd like to give him. But yeah, he comes with a massive reputation. And done a bit of work as well. He's never been out of places, but been beaten by like the likes of Ray. He's a decent horse. So yeah, I'm going to go with Mr. Sketch first off. And then second off, I'm going to go for Tommy's again. Good group three winner, really. room service. This horse blew him away at Donny in the big 300k auction race. Beat Dragon Leader. At the time, Dragon Leader was like the big talking horse. He's winning everything he's going for. Joanna Brahms, decent sprinter, I suppose. Mm. Lambert is a decent sprinter, climbed up the weights. So yeah, a few nice horses in that race really, but I'm going to go for room service. I remember just being at Donny, I think our horse ran on the same day as that, and I remember watching, it won by 2.25 lengths. That's absolute, Tom gave a peach of a ride to be fair, but yeah, he just caught my eye that day, and I've been waiting to back him since. He's been a non-runner at Newcastle on tryout on that final day.
Mm.
So yeah, I think they've been waiting for this, and I mean, it's definitely better than 12-1 anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hope the winter run is back, come back nice and strong and better for it. So they're my two.
Yeah. We go into the next race at Newbury.
Up with Tom, two big winners in a week, that'd be nice.
Yeah, that'd be really nice. He's a nice lad, is Tom. Obviously, we've met him a few times now. He's one of the gents of the sport. Go into the next race then, the 3:15 at Newbury. I'm going with Talisay Volvere. Now, bit of an all-weather merchant, only won once on the turf. However, Joe Levy takes 5 off the 9-stone 4 he currently has. Currently 20-1, which is a massive price. Nice 4-year-old, won twice in 4 races. Again, that was all all-weather. So he's very fresh after a 3-week break. Rated 99, so if 99 at 9-stone 4 might just blow these away. Joe Levy's nice jockey there at with 5 on, and trained by the great Richard Hannon, who's had an unbelievable week so far, especially at Newmarket with Sean Levy, and I think he's just one for the each way, and that's about it.
Yeah, I've got 2 in this race. I think Latam really caught the eye last time at Donny.
It catches my eye as well.
Yeah, I think I've got the wrong price up here because I'm getting 10-1 triplet favourites. So
I'm getting that as well.
Yeah, I don't think they are that price. I can click on it. Yeah, you can get 7-1 about, well, 10-1 top price. I think that's because I'm on, am I on?
I'm on Betos, I'm on Betos, mate.
Apparently 10-1 best price on Bet365, but otherwise shorter, but he's a huge price, 10-1. He caught the eye last time.
Yeah.
You know he's got the benefits of a run behind him now, so he would be definitely a big price for me. But the other one I've got, another one that caught my eye, Alpha Krukus. Glad I backed him last time. Mm. Come fourth. He was what, 50-1?
Yeah.
Something like that last time. Yeah, finished off with a flurry really. Same jockey on board, £7 off again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm going to go for him. He just caught the hour, Simon. I say that benefit of a run. And I think he's actually been dropped £1 for that. Which,
has he?
Yeah, he's been dropped £1 for that run at Donny. And there's some nice horses in the Lincoln. Mr. Professor just hosed up, but there's Latam in there. I mean, if Latam,
that was an impressive ride, that.
Yeah, if Latam is sort of 10-1, let's say, you can get 20-1 on a horse that only got beat by 2 lengths, do you know what I mean? So I think to be double the price, it could come on again after a run. So main play would be Latam, but definitely like Alpha Krukus.
That's it for the tipping, mate. That's very big racing. Obviously, you've got racing at the Curragh, but people say that Newmarket's a punter's nightmare. That's got to be the worst.
Yeah.
Like, that can throw up any sort of price. I'm not interested in having a bet there at all. The big bet will be on Hamish, though. I've already put the money down on him at 72. I've put quite a few quid on him. So I think he just wins for a few bob back. Next best bet for you?
I've took quite a few at big prices here, but I think my nap would have to be Hamish. And then I've got to go next best, Elvis, Ginger Mail and I.
Yeah.
Ginger Mail, got to do that. But like I say, then one's room service and Mr. Sketch and nice prices. Mm. I think they're well overpriced. And Alpha Krukus as well is well overpriced. But so I've done some decent prices in this. I mean, I've got, wrote down here, 5-1, 10-1, 33-1, 12-1, 14-1, 11-2, 4-1, 5-2, 14-1, 10-1, 20-1.
Mm.
So I'm thinking there might be some nice prices this week, obviously.
Yeah, and I've just put double on for my nap and next best. I put a £10 double on Hamish and Folgari Fogarty's just gone down to 92 as well. So I've put that on, and hopefully it's quite a profitable day.
Cracking weekend racing, by the way.
Yeah, oh, mate. It's just kicking off from last week. What weekend racing that was. It just seems to be getting better and better.
And we'll be at Doncaster in a week's time, or a week on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll be there. We'll be watching Donny, obviously. We're hoping to have a runner. And be watching Sandown at the same time for the Jumps finale. Sad to see it go, but it happens every year.
It does happen every year, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's all good things have got to come to an end at some point. And that'll be this weekend's racing done. And we'll be catching up back up on that on Monday, I think. Monday, yeah.
You want to talk about the arse? Oh, we'll get attacked by dogs.
Attacked by ponies. Not ponies, dogs. He's just opened the door. Oh my God, three have just run in. Oh my God. Oh my God. You just opened the door and not shut back. How did they not shut the door back?
No, to open it, but can't shut it.
Yeah. They're born at the barn.
Do you want to talk about the arse?
No.
Oh, you got to.
No.
You have to. Liverpool are about to play in 4 minutes. So.
I'm not talking about the Arsenal.
Oh, you got to.
They pissed me off too.
Oh, I talk about Liverpool and they lose.
Yeah, but it's me. I've just not got that temper. You've got that. You're like Paul Townend. You're cool and collected. I'm not. I'm very hot-headed.
Give the quick couple sentences.
I made a scene in the pub, I'll say that.
Oh my God.
I made a scene in the pub. That's all I'll say. Shit. That's all I'll say.
Not good.
Saka can't beat the first man. He limps when we lose. It's just embarrassing. And to say, for the Arsenal Instagram to say they're proud is absolute bollocks, to be honest, because we lost to Lens away. I'm glad I didn't go. I was going to go to that, and I'm glad I didn't. We lost two Porto away as well. Barely beat them at home. Bottled it at Bayern. And we bottled it at home as well. So it's nothing to be proud of. It's shit. And we move on.
A lot of learning still to be done.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk any more about it because I'll get more and more annoyed. So yeah, that's me done with Arsenal for the rest of the year. Can't be arsed with it. So it sounds like a really good fan for me. But no. They've upset me too many times. I can't. So... Yeah.
Alright, I'll go watch Liverpool then.
Right, yeah, thank you very much for listening as always. Them tips, I'm on absolute fire at the minute. Hopefully we'll have a few more tips come in. I've had a big bet on Hamish and I've got the double on Fulgaria and Hamish as well, so if Hamish loses, I've done my money. But yeah, I'm up quite a lot of money this week, so it's all fun and games for me. But thank you very much for listening, guys. And just remember, we're back on Monday. Like, subscribe, and
booyah.